The sermon title for this morning is Keep It Simple. I'll be reading from the first letter of John in the New Testament in chapter 2, the first six verses, and then verses 15 to 17 from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. I invite you now to hear the Word of God through these beautiful words of Scripture. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now by this we may be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. Whoever says, I have come to know him and does not obey his commandments is a liar, and in such a person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk in him. And then picking up at verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world, for the love of the Father is not in those who love the world. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride and riches, come not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desire are passing away. But those who do the will of God live forever. Here ends the reading of God's word, and to God's name be all glory and praise. Let us pray. O Lord and our God, as we continue this 40-day journey through Lent, we are reminded, as we have been on Ash Wednesday and last Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent, that perhaps for some of us, this is a time to discipline ourselves, perhaps through prayer or from abstaining from something, perhaps by fasting or praying or reading of Scripture, or perhaps more specifically, about giving up something. May we give up hatred, conflict, divisiveness, and revenge. And help us, O God, to live lives in the manner of Jesus Christ. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and redeemer, and there is no other. Amen. While the title of the sermon today may be Keep It Simple, the truth of the matter is that the Bible is not entirely simple. And neither is in living in this complex world of ours in these days. But you know that already, don't you? It's difficult to live in these days and in this time. We live in a world that often wants quick answers. Keep it simple. And we want a world that has a packaged truth. The world often does that. It squeezes truth into digestible sound bites. Have you noticed that? A quick commercial here or there trying to tell you their truth. But when it's squeezed into such tight packages, sometimes the truth loses its deep, subtle meaning. God is not simple, and the human condition that we live in, it also is not simple. God reminds us of this in Isaiah 55, verse 8, one of my favorite passages. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It is almost as if God is saying, there is work that you have to do on your part to seek understanding. My thoughts aren't anything like your thoughts. And so we have to meditate, we have to pray, we may have to abstain from something to discipline ourselves to hear the Word of God for our lives. God's way out of trouble is sometimes different than we expect. God's ways are not our ways. Well, if God's thoughts are not our thoughts, then perhaps hearing the Bible is demanding, and it's meant to be demanding. Reading the Bible is demanding. Preaching, I have learned, is demanding. Discerning the will of God takes time. It takes hard work. It invites hard conversation between people, and it invites sincere prayer. And I believe this is the work we are called to do during this Lenten journey of 40 days. Until we reach that time at the foot of the cross, the glory of the cross on Good Friday, and the empty tomb on Sunday morning. We will get there, but it takes discernment. Seeking the will of God in our own lives and in our own time. It means to intentionally strive to walk in the same way that Jesus walked. Oh, how I wish I could tell you just to close your eyes and open the Bible and let it fall to a page and let your finger go down on a text and voila, that's the answer that you need. But it doesn't work that way, does it? I got to tell you, I've been studying and reading the Bible for more years than I want to try to count, and I still haven't figured it all out. I have discovered that I have not begun to unearth the riches within the pages of Scripture. I have not begun. And here is one thing I can share with you this morning as we prepare to come to this table. One thing I want to share with you is how to live lives in the simplicity of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? What does that mean to live lives in the simplicity of Jesus Christ? Clearly, it does not mean to be simplistic. It does not mean to be naive in this world. I like what the Apostle Paul wrote in the second letter that he wrote to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. One letter to those young Christians was not enough. And in his second letter, he still writes that he was afraid for them, because they were still young and maturing in faith. He wrote to them saying, just as the serpent deceived Eve, they might have their minds corrupted by the world and turn away, here it is, from the simpleness that is in Christ. Let me suggest several qualities that we can embrace as we go through this Lenten journey. I think they help us to understand what simplicity means, simplicity in Christ. First, note with me that Jesus was not simple. He was not overly complicated, was he? Tradition has long upheld that he probably never owned a home. He stayed with others in his travels. And we cannot find anywhere where we are told that he had lots of possessions. It doesn't say that at all. And while he may not have been outright poor, we do understand that he lived simply. We also know that the soldiers at the cross gambled for his outer robe, perhaps one of the few items of value that he owned. I remember when our boys were little. Boy, they were little at that time. We lived in Sarasota for 6 years. Their elementary years, elementary school, and we used to drive around that city in Sarasota. It's a beautiful place to live, a lot of history. They would finally say, sitting in the back seat, they would say, Dad, why are some of these people riding bicycles, especially those with the three wheels? I don't understand that. Sarasota has been, as some of you may know, for over 100 years. It has a large population of Mennonites and Amish people from Indiana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. They came there long ago to grow crops in the winter. Now they own restaurants mostly. But we tried to explain to them that those were our Christian friends, the Mennonites and the Amish. Who are they? Well, they're people that try to live differently from the world, and so they don't typically drive automobiles. They sometimes don't have electricity in their homes. They try simply to live simply. And the boys, of course, being boys, little boys, why? And the why would come. Why? And finally, we would say, well, they try not to use any kind of technology or gadgets. And finally, they would give up, and they would go back to their own technology gadgets in the back seat. Probably none of us will ever join a religious order and pledge a vow of poverty, will we? But perhaps all of us could travel more lightly than we do. All the precious things that we hoard and save, and we all have precious things, have you ever noticed that they take time to take care of? The simplicity of Jesus. Oh, if we somehow could just embrace those qualities, how the world would be different. Would that our lives embrace something of the beauty and the quality of our Lord Jesus? A second quality perhaps could be that Jesus was simple versus divided in mind and heart. Jesus was never two people. And this is what the Bible means by living lives of purity. The will to do the one thing. It's not a call to be perfect. None of us can be that. But there is something to say about someone whose life is so centered, so focused in singleness of attitude and thought and goal, and is seeking to live after the manner of Jesus Christ. There's something about that. The New Testament letter of James talks about this. It talks about being a double-minded person who is unstable in all his or her ways. It also talks in the letter of James about the power of the tongue. It's so little like the rudder of a boat, but so powerful and so dangerous. Jesus was always living around the center of God's will, and seeking first the kingdom of heaven. What about you? Can you and I say that on a daily basis? Let me give you an example about being of a divided mind and heart. Often I run out to a late lunch. I sometimes make the mistake of waiting till 2 o'clock or so. And have you noticed now as you go to the restaurants, there are more tables than ever before. They're getting tight again. Those tables are coming back. But like at Jason's Deli the other day, I was there, and wouldn't you know it, I sat at a table next to two people. They were very close, these tables, and I couldn't help but overhearing the conversation. A third person came over to greet them. They hadn't seen them in a while, and between the two people meeting the one, the two people were so gracious about the reacquaintance, and they smiled and said words of pleasantness. And then sometimes what I overhear by accident, never snooping, by the way, is what the two at that original table say when the one person leaves. You know, he's a jerk. She never has learned how to dress right. Not snooping, but I've heard such things. Different things from those initial, gracious, pleasant words. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't change. Now note, he did speak quite directly and quite sternly to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but he was honest. He was consistent. And so I guess what I'm saying is, let us pray during this Lenten journey that we may become so whole and consistent in our relationships and what we say about people when they are not there. Thirdly, note how simple Jesus was in his teaching. I'm sure you've noticed this. He spoke in ways that people could understand. He talked about a farmer's crops, for example. He talked about a woman who had lost a coin and was so joyful when she found it. He talked about a boy that ran away from home and finally came back to his father's love. He talked about a man hurting by the side of the Jericho road and how others had just passed him by, but one did not. Why is it that Jesus is often quoted more than all the philosophers, more than Plato, more than Socrates? Could it be because his teaching was so clear? And now I come back to where we began. To say that Jesus was simple and clear means we must add that he was deep. He was deep. He was profound. And that's the brilliant side, isn't it, to true simplicity, the deepness that comes. And here's what I think is most important about all this. To hear and study and read the scriptures, it requires all the awe and wonder that we can muster. And we have to work at it to grow in him. And that's like the sacrament that we celebrate this morning at this table. We take the simplest of foods like Jesus did, bread and wine, and we eat them around this table. And even a child can understand inviting Jesus into your life and receiving him within you by taking of the bread and drinking from the cup. And while we can say that, it's still true that the Lord's Supper is just a great mystery. We can never exhaust its many meanings at all. And so I want to suggest this morning that perhaps we should simply come to this table thinking of the words of that Shaker hymn. "'Tis a gift to be simple, 'tis a gift to be free. 'Tis a gift to come down where you ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be the valley of love and delight.'" May it be so, as in this season we seek to practice the simplicity of Christ and walk as we ought to walk, like Jesus did. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for these moments together. And as we come to sing this great hymn of faith, remind us of the simplicity of Jesus Christ as we come to this table. For it's in Christ's name that we prepare our hearts and minds even now. Amen.